Hi, Larry. Well,
it's a nice sunny day today, about 40 degrees, supposed to get up to about 60 degrees. And we're going to sit down and watch the Super Bowl, not so much for the football as for the ads. I really like those. Otherwise, everybody's in pretty good shape. Unfortunately, the Lenten season starts in a couple of weeks, and that's when things really get jumping around here. But we got another week or so, we can live with that. Anyway, hope things are well with you and your birds. Here's this morning's message for you. Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message comes to us from the letter of St. Paul, the first letter that he wrote to his church at Corinth. Chapter 12 talks about a mirror and how when we look in a mirror, we see dimly. I'll have to explain why that's the case here later on, but I will. Paul writes, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." This is our text for today. Dear friends in Christ, over the years, I have developed a list of questions that I want to ask the Lord when I get to heaven. The list I have is a result of me simply seeing things happen in the course of my life. Part of it is there because I have read the accounts of events in Scripture, or I have heard about events around the world. This list is a result of me seeing, hearing, reading stuff that causes me to ask the question, why? For instance, from the biblical perspective, why did God give man free will when he created him back there in the book of Genesis? Think about it. It was free will that caused the fall of man into sin. Well, perhaps didn't cause it, but allowed for it to happen. When God created mankind, he allowed man to decide for himself what he would do and what he would not do. And unfortunately, man chose to disobey. And in so doing, we have what's called the fall of man into sin, and it simply loused up the entire universe. Another one. Why did God let the world get so sinful and corrupt that he had to send a flood? Think about it. His solution to worldwide corruption was to purge the world of people. He put an end to sin by putting an end to sinners, leaving only eight so-called righteous people, to start all over again. Another one, why did God allow the Egyptians to enslave his people? Now think about it. That was a terrible time for his people. That slavery lasted 400 years. Thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Jewish people died at the hands of the Egyptians during those centuries of abuse. And really, these are but a few of those things that evoke questions in my mind. The Bible is full of examples that beg the question, why? And there is a certain logic that is brought to bear with regard to that question. You know, think about this. If God is all-knowing, knows everything, then he would have known that Adam and Eve were going to sin. Free will made it possible for them to do so. So when you think about it, in effect, God made it possible for them, for mankind, to sin. You know, it seems interesting to ask if perhaps he shouldn't have given that free will to them in the first place. And that would have made it impossible for them to disobey. So why? Why did he do that? And if God is all powerful, he clearly could have stopped those Egyptians from taking his people captive. He could have prevented them from taking them as prisoners in the first place by simply not allowing it to happen. Or as time went on, he could have made it possible for the Jews to overpower their captors and escape from bondage early on, rather than to spend all of that time in pain and misery. If these things are true about God, that is, if he is all-knowing and all-powerful, why didn't he simply not allow these things to happen? These things, and for that matter, a myriad of other events down through history. Why did he allow them to happen, resulting in so much grief, suffering, and death in the process? Why? But think about this. It's not just ancient history that causes me to ask why. Even these days, an airplane crashes and several hundred people, men, women, and children, are killed. Why? A dance club burns to the ground and 200 people die. Why? A gunman walks into a school and kills 20 kids. Why? Suicide bombers routinely destroy buildings and end lives. Why? Disease sweeps through a third world country. Why? There are floods, earthquakes, volcano eruptions, violent storms, wildfires, blizzards, and the like. Why? Why? The list goes on and on. Why, if God is who he is, do these things happen? He's supposed to be loving and kind and compassionate, all-powerful and all-merciful. So why do these things happen? Well, now you can see what makes my list of questions so long. And as a matter of fact, we've only scratched the surface. It goes on and on, page after page, and it gets longer and longer every day. And I'll be surprised if each of you doesn't have a similar list. A list of questions, either beginning or ending with the word, why? Now, I'm not sure that I can be of much help in answering those questions. However, there is one thing that we know for sure, and that is this. God does not make bad things happen. He does not make bad things happen. He didn't cause the first sin. He didn't cause that old train wreck. He didn't cause a tornado to blow away a town. He doesn't cause poverty and hunger and homelessness. He doesn't cause illness, injury, and death. That answer to the question why is a no-brainer, at least that part of the answer. God never does anything to harm his people. That being said, however, he doesn't always prevent bad things from happening. Doesn't always prevent them. Sometimes he does. By virtue of his control over the universe, he can stop things. He wrote the laws of nature. He can suspend them if he desires to do so in order to avert disaster or to curtail its progress. Sometimes he does prevent bad things by intervening in what he knows about the future. He can see into the future. He can see things coming. He can stop or delay things from happening, so that people can get prepared either to tough it out or to avoid it altogether. So he does sometimes prevent disasters and bad things from happening. But alas, it is also a fact that sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he has allowed bad things to occur that he could easily have prevented. Why? Why didn't he prevent it? Sometimes he lets the future unfold when he knows it's coming and he can change what will happen. Why doesn't he? Unfortunately, that's the part of the question why for which I have no clue regarding an answer. Can't help you there at all. Now, St. Paul in our text for today does have a definitive response to the question why. He says in our text, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Now, this is where I have to explain a little something about mirrors. We have to remember what mirrors were like back then, what it was like to look into one of them. They were usually made of polished brass or bronze or copper. They were not like our silvered glass mirrors are these days, in which the image is clear as crystal. We can see ourselves just fine in the mirror these days. But in Bible times, a reflection in a mirror, a bronze, brass, or copper mirror, was wavy, cloudy, out of focus, dark. In fact, that's probably why someone else always shaved the men or fixed the women's hair. You see, they couldn't see well enough in the mirror to do it themselves. Paul's words would have meant something to them, even if it doesn't mean anything, at least at first, to us, because they knew what mirrors were like in those days. If we boil that text down, Paul is simply saying to them and to us, we will never know completely while we are alive. We will never know completely how God's mind works regarding this world. We are not able to see the whole picture. Parts of it are distorted. Parts of it are cloudy and dark. Paul goes on, but then, and here he's referring to when we get to heaven, but then when we get to heaven, everything will be cleared up. We will know God's reasons for allowing or preventing events in this world. His thinking will be obvious to us. We will see things as he sees them. We will know him in the same way he knows us. Well, I guess my questions will have to wait for their answers until then, as will yours, by the way. We just have to get used to the idea that we won't know all of the answers. We'll have to get used to the idea that we can't know all of the answers. Many of the answers to our question why are on a need-to-know basis, and we simply don't need to know. Now, we do know something. We do know that God is very gracious to us in other ways. Perhaps he doesn't give us the answers, but what we do know will have to suffice for the time being while we're here in this world. We know this. Paul says, all things work together for our benefit. All things, good and bad, work together for our benefit. David says, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the good shepherd will be there with us, guiding us with his staff and protecting us with his rod. And Jesus himself says, no matter what happens in the course of your lives, he says, remain faithful even unto death, and you will have eternal life. And as it turns out, it will be an eternal life in which we will have all the answers we've been looking for. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that we have knowing that in heaven we will never have to ask the question, why, again. May that peace keep us in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.